Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Vern Poitras on questions raised by the movie Angels and Demons.
Both the book and the movie raise these questions. I think the book, even more so, has a kind of ongoing theme of conflict alleged between science and religion.
A discussion with Vern Poitras next. Today's guest says the big screen adaptation of Dan Brown's best-selling novel, Angels and Demons, revolves around a number of very provocative questions. Our guest is Dr. Vern Poitras, professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. He'll discuss Westminster's new website, truthaboutangelsanddemons.com. Dr. Poitras, tell us why the seminary assembled such a comprehensive website about a movie.
Well, it's because the movie and the book that it's based on raise a lot of questions with respect to religion, and particularly the relation of science to religion. And at the same time, the movie and the book don't really provide answers, and they tend to suggest, I think, they're kind of light, a lightweight on the subject, but they tend to suggest that Christianity is probably passé in the light of the growth of science, and they tend to suggest that either religion is going to fade away or that some new synthesis is going to arrive between science and religion. Now, Westminster Seminary and I myself, we stand for the truthfulness of the Bible as God's Word, and we think it never goes out of date, that it's relevant for modern science. Of course, science does achieve some marvelous things, but they should be set in the context of understanding how God rules his world and how science fits into that picture, rather than putting scientific achievements into competition with biblical faith.
From your perspective, how important a movie is Angels and Demons?
Well, it's a little hard to say because I don't know how many people are going to go to see it. It's on one level, it's just entertainment. But I think the people, and it is entertaining. I read the book before the movie came out, and I found the book entertaining as well. But as I say, both the book and the movie raise these questions. I think the book, even more so, has a kind of ongoing theme of conflict alleged between science and religion, of new discoveries in science potentially leading to new vistas in religion, and those kinds of themes crop up quite a bit. And it makes the book, in a sense, more interesting because you think, wow, they're really touching on some deep things. But, of course, the book and the movie as well don't really have answers. They raise the questions. And so it's an opportunity, as Westminster saw it and as I see it in participating with writing some of the things for the website, it's an opportunity to respond and to follow up on some of those questions for people who are, as it were, their appetite is piqued by the book or the movie, and we want to show them how the Bible does have answers to the kinds of questions that are raised in the book and the movie.
Well, as someone who has read the book, and you've seen the movie too, I take it.
I have.
Can you tell us, sort of in a nutshell, the plot line and how it's somehow linked to the Da Vinci Code?
Well, you raised the question of the Da Vinci Code, and that was a book by the same author, Dan Brown. It also deals with a conflict between the Roman Catholic Church on the one side and this investigator, Robert Langdon, who's the protagonist. He's really the main hero. But the linkage is mainly through the reappearance of this character and his Vittoria Vetra, who's works with him. They appear in both the books and in both the movies, but beyond that, and they have this common theme of conflict with religion, and they have a common theme of secrecy. But beyond that, there's not really very much relation. I think maybe some people, if they enjoyed the book or the movie, you know, it'll induce them to go to this, to the Angels and Demons movie or book. But the linkages are pretty superficial. I think what's challenging about the latest book, the Angels and Demons book and the movie, is that it raises different kinds of questions than were raised by the Da Vinci Code. Its questions are about the relationship of science and religion. That seems to be the big theme. So our new website, The Truth About Angels and Demons, responds to that set of questions that are raised by the book.
Well, my guest today on His People, Dr. Vern Poythress, Professor of New Testament Interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. We're talking about not only the new movie Angels and Demons, but Westminster Seminary's website, thetruthaboutangelsanddemons.com. And I'm wondering, too, Dr. Poythress, I realize this isn't necessarily a theological or biblical question, but as I understand it, the film deals a lot with the Illuminati. For years, the stuff of many a conspiracy theory. Who or what is the Illuminati?
Well, the book of the movie claimed that it's a secret organization that arose because early science was opposed and by the Catholic Church that attempted to suppress it, and so they went underground. Well, there's been more than one society called the Illuminati, and one of them did have some relationship to science. But again, the relationships are loose, and I don't want to spoil the plot, but most of the plot goes through talking about the Illuminati, and you find out at the end that there are other wrinkles to the whole thing. So. But it's the plot. I didn't really answer your question about the plot of the book and the movie. And again, without spoiling it for people who want to read it, it's a conflict story and it's a mystery story. It's a kind of thriller because there's a bomb that's going to go off in Vatican City, and there's only so much time. And then the protagonist tries to find the bomb and defuse it before time runs out. But even with that bomb plot, science and religion get mixed in because the bomb has allegedly been planted by people who are trying to get even. The Illuminati are trying to take revenge on the Catholic Church for its past persecutions. And the bomb is made out of antimatter, which is... It really does exist. It's a very illusory and technical form of matter that's generated in particle accelerators when the conditions are just right. So they have some advanced science mixed in with the plot, and that adds to the excitement, of course. Then there's a kind of mystery element because the protagonist has to decode symbolic meanings in order to find his way to uncover where the bomb is. So through all of that, there's the plot level where it's just a kind of mystery thriller, and the people can enjoy it on that level without thinking about the deeper issues. But the deeper issues are raised more so, actually, more directly in the book than in the movie. There is this... all these issues about whether the growth of science has made religion obsolete, for instance. Obviously, I don't think it has, but I think that is a cultural theme that superficially is out there, you know, that people have that impression. And Dan Brown has exploited that. It's one element that helps to make the book more interesting, is to say, wow, you know, he's dealing with these important cultural issues. Well, he is, but of course the book is mainly a thriller, so it doesn't end up giving definitive answers in those subjects.
Well, as a seminary professor, what would you say to that assertion that religion or Christianity is being outmoded and really science is now able to answer these ultimate questions?
Well, one of the things I would say is that science is designed to look at matter and motion and energy, material aspects of the world, and it's only going to be able to answer questions about those aspects. So its starting focus already says you really can't answer ultimate questions, say, about the significance of human life or whether there is a God and that kind of thing. It's not designed to uncover those things. It has become, in the past decades, a platform for what I would call the philosophy of materialism, that only matter and motion and energy exist and nothing else. And maybe even our thoughts are illusory, and God is certainly a thought that is just illusory. That kind of materialism is actually a philosophy. It's been around for a long time, but it's gotten propaganda leverage through the triumphs of science and people saying, look, science can explain everything. But what they don't observe is that the starting point for scientific investigation is just looking at one aspect. It's two different things to say, well, science is looking only at the material aspect of the world, and to say the material aspect is all that there is. But materialism, the idea that the material aspect is all that there is in the world, it nevertheless gains prestige. It gains a hearing because it's supposedly built on science.
Now, one of the questions, according to your website there at Westminster Seminary, the website, thetruthaboutangelsanddemons.com, that the movie raises is there evidence that God created the earth? And that's obviously a question within the whole science religion debate. How does the movie raise that question? Then how would you answer it?
Well, the movie is kind of ambiguous about it. They only say a little bit. The book says a little more. But the current scientific theory postulates that if you extrapolate backwards into the past, then about 14 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe that we see now was concentrated in a single point. And then it explosively expanded from that point. And no one can really get behind that point. And it was an embarrassment in past decades for people who wanted to be materialists because they didn't have any explanation. And now people have come up with some rather wild and fanciful materialist explanations. But it looks like the moment of creation that the Bible describes, when God created, you know, the initial heavens and earth, and then of course he worked to differentiate the world that he'd created initially. The other thing that comes out, it doesn't come out in the book, and it should, is that's not only the scientists are dealing with matter and energy and motion, but they're dealing with laws that govern the matter and the energy and the motion. Where do the laws come from? And there really is no explanation apart from God. Actually, the laws, if you look carefully at them, they show the attributes of God, because they really go back to God speaking. And the Bible describes just that in the first verses of Genesis, Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke, and it was. And that speaking governs the world. It governs the creation of the world and governs the subsequent history of the world. It's God's speech that's the real law, and scientists really are exploring the mind of God when they're looking to discover scientific laws. It's unfortunate that, again, modern science, 20th century and 21st century, many people have lost sight of that, and they ignore the fact that what they're looking at is a divine mind and a divine plan when they're looking at scientific law. So I actually think that science supports and testifies to the existence of God, but people don't see it because we live in an atmosphere where they've persuaded themselves otherwise. Actually, Romans talks about that. It talks about the fact, Romans 1 talks about the fact that God clearly shows his character in the things he has made, but that we, because we're in rebellion against God, we suppress that truth. We try to push it away from ourselves so that we can be little gods ourselves, so that we can live independent lives. So really, the story of humanity is the story of being in flight from the true God. And that's where the Christian story of redemption comes in, because Christ was sent from God in order to pull us out, to redeem us from this flight and rebellion against God. So I think the Christian story really helps to make sense both of the character of modern science and of the fact that we're still, even though we're exploring the mind of God in science, we're trying to keep away from the discomfort of admitting that it's really God that we're confronted with.
Well, Dr. Vern Poitras is my guest today on His People, professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. We're talking about the seminary's website, thetruthaboutangelsanddemons.com, which is giving a comprehensive response, really, and much to think about regarding the new movie, Angels and Demons. On the website, Dr. Poitras, another issue that's raised is, well, in fact, the statement that's made is there is perhaps no more important question facing our culture than the profound yet basic question of the truthfulness of the Bible. How does the movie raise that question, and is the Bible true? How do you respond?
Right. Well, I think the Bible is true, but we, as human beings in rebellion, we don't have eyes and ears all the time to recognize it. For people who doubt whether it's true, I think the best starting point is to look at the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. But that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different trail or path from the issues that are raised in the book. The issues raised in the book and the movie are more subtle, of the feeling of, because science has dominated and it's answered so many questions, that it's really that the Bible is outmoded. That's the way they come at it. Rather than directly attack and say the Bible is not true, it's just outmoded. Well, if it is the Word of God, God is not taken by surprise by the developments in our modern world, and the Bible is still relevant. It's true that it was written in ancient cultures before the development of science, but God had already spoken his Word, creating, governing the universe. And the Bible does talk about that speech. So I think it lays the foundation for the developments of modern science. And that means that really science fits into the framework of thinking that the Bible offers about God and the world. So in that respect, it confirms the truthfulness of the Bible. But again, people have to struggle with that for themselves, because we all have rebellious desires in us, and we're not likely to treat the evidence fairly.
What else would you like to tell us about the website? What other features, or why any other reasons why people might want to visit?
We haven't mentioned it yet, but also in the website there's some information, starting information, about the early developments in science. Many of the early scientists were Bible-believing Christians, and many people don't realize that. They get this modern ideology, this modern myth that says that science and Christianity are in conflict. And there were some conflicts between individuals, of course, because there were always people who were trying to protect the status quo and were fearful of new developments in science. But the leading scientists were many times Bible-believing Christians. Nicholas Copernicus is famous for theorizing that the sun was at the center of the solar system. He praised God as the master workman in the very book where he introduced his theory. And Johannes Kepler, the same kind of thing happened. Kepler was the one who realized that the planets travel in ellipses rather than in circles, on top of circles. He praised God in his work, and so, you know, on the story goes. I think that the modern sense that science is just materialistic has lost sight of the roots of science, which actually depended on a Christian view of the world, in the sense of believing that a God had made everything and so that it was orderly. If you have many gods, you know, the ancient Greeks believed in many gods. If you have many gods, then nobody is in control, and the universe is likely to be chaotic. That doesn't give you a motivation to develop science. It's only when you believe there's a true God, a single true God, that you can have confidence in the orderliness of the world. The other thing is that the Bible proclaims that man was made in the image of God. That promises that we, if we're made in God's image, have a mind that is attuned to the mind of God, and that gives hope that a scientist can actually understand the mind of God as it's revealed in scientific law. And those things were things that the early scientists actually believed and relied on in their development and work to lay the foundations of modern science.
Any final thoughts, Dr. Poythress, or last comments as we conclude?
Well, if people are interested, go and enjoy the movie, but don't swallow it whole, particularly in what it says about the relationship of science and religion.
You've been listening to His People on the Pilgrim Radio Network. Many thanks to today's guest, Dr. Vern Poythress, Professor of New Testament Interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Brian Cluth on some keys to biblical generosity.
So for me, with a little bit of a shaking hand, you know, I said, okay, God, I don't understand how this works, but, you know, when I start getting paid, when I get a paycheck, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to write the first check to you.
That's on tomorrow's program. Reader's Choice is next.